Lord Teach Us to Pray, Part 8. And, you know, it's hard to believe that you go so long talking about prayer, but it's so needful. It's so needful, and so much lack is in the church. When I say lack, it's not concerning Christ, but it's experience, it's understanding. This has gone on for a long time, and I'm going to show you some things in the scriptures today. But there's so many lies out there, and you know, I was talking with this guy this week, and I was so thankful to get to talk to him again. And it seems like he's come upon something, in other words, and now he's gotten a glimpse of Christ. Nothing else is working now. His whole doctrine begins to crumble. You know? And then it's like, do I want to keep going there? You know what I mean? My whole doctrine now is about to fall around me. Now what am I doing? I mean, you know. Make the statement, if I thought I preached Christ for 20 years, now I realize I never did. Christ was just always a servant of mine. You know, he was just there to do something for me. Get me out of my mess and come and bless me and do all of that. And we talked about this, I think, last week or Wednesday, but I'm just going to throw this word, been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That word blessed is the word eulogy. And you know what? When you go to a funeral, the preacher says a eulogy. And it's the word for blessed. Now you can look this up. So the word for blessed is the word for eulogy. Now Christ has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already spoken over the dead. What's he spoken? I'm their dead and I'm their life. What a eulogy. What a eulogy. He just spoke a eulogy over Adam. Adam is dead. I'm his life. That's a eulogy, and that's already been spoken. Already been spoken. And I want to hear something, and I don't want to... I hope that what I tell you will at least challenge you to go look. To go look. But I want to talk to you just for a second about time. Time. In our minds, time is a line. It starts here and keeps on going. But that's not biblical. Time is circular. Am I making any sense? If you guys ever looked at pictures of the Hubble telescope or the telescopes and seen everything in the universe, what kind of shape is it? Everything. We rotate around the sun. I mean, we have years and we number them, 2017, and they go on. But what happens? We get to January and then we go all the way back around. We come back to January again. We get all the way back around. It was the same way in Israel. They started out in Passover. They went to Pentecost. They went to Tabernacles. And then they come all the way back around to Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. They come all the way back around. And it's that way. But see, we get this this illusion that time is on this linear line, and then out here at the end somewhere, there's an apocalypse, which means the end of time. Well, that's not what apocalypse means. Apocalypse means revelation. And it means the revelation of what? The end of time? No, read it in the book. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. So that's what brings this thing back around. And you come up here to the revelation. And then what happens? Then you walk in that revelation and you go right back through it again. And then you come up on another revelation. And then you go right back, you walk in that, and then you come right back up on another revelation. And it just perpetuates over and over and over. And when you get to that revelation, that time has been brought to us fullness, because Christ is the beginning and what? The end. And then it'll start over because it's circular. Christ is the beginning. Christ is the end. When I get to the end, what have I got to? I've got to the beginning. Then I'll go all the way around. I'll get back to the end. But what have I got to? The beginning. And it just, it keeps on going like that. I want you to see those things because seeing it on these other things, boy, people watch news and watch everything else, and they get all fired up at the mess. I heard this one guy, he said this, the Bible is literal from cover to cover. And if so, Jesus wasn't a man. And I believe, well, I don't believe, I know Jesus came here in a flesh and bone body, born of a Virgin Mary down there in Galilee, in Nazareth, Bethlehem. But yet John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, which is it? Was he a man or was he a lamb? If I'm taking a Bible literal, I'm looking right past Jesus, and I'm looking for some sheep over there, because a lamb is a sheep. So if I take it literal, then it wasn't a man that hung on the cross, it was a lamb that hung on the cross. But yet Jesus said, "Put your fingers in the nail prints in my hands, not paws." Now I know that sounds silly, and you're thinking, well, this is silly. I just want to make the point, if somebody tells me the Bible is literal from cover to cover, that's silly. This was an allegory. This was given for our admonition. It was an allegory, he said, speaking of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah. This was an allegory, Paul said in Galatians. This was the two covenants. Now, did these things, was there an Abraham? I'm sure there was. Was there a Noah and an ark and a flood? I'm sure there was. But these things was an allegory. Type and shadow of one to come. And that one that was to come has come and lives in you today. These songs that we were singing, can you imagine these guys? Isaac, Isaiah, longed for our day. I shouldn't say our day, long for the Lord's day, because it's his day. I'm not talking Sunday. That's just how we get along. Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. That's just how we get along. In the Jews' time, it was the third hour. They didn't say 9 a.m. Let me show you something else right here. How crazy Jesus would be looking. If this was literal, his feet was fine brass. I had to cut his toenails. His voice was sound of many waters. How could you understand that? I mean, you ever go trout fishing, you stand at the stream and you just hear the roar? I never heard any, "Come fish here. There's a trout right here." It's just a roar. "He had in his right hand 7 stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun when it shineth in strength." This is a crazy looking guy. If we'd have taken it literal. But I hear this foolishness, but yet this foolishness goes right into our prayer. And we don't think, because we'll take that mindset and we'll pull it right over into prayer. And then we'll pray after that. Now, let me tell you something. Is there a need for prayer? You better bet your bottom dollar there's a need for prayer. Don't you ever think or misunderstand what I'm telling you. This is a house of prayer. But we've had it upside down for a long time. I just got news this week. It's been on my mind. I'm just going to share this with you. I'm sure every one of you could tell this tale of somebody that you know. But this little girl, I'd known his mom and daddy for a long time. Now, he's a young man. Kenny Mullins, from the Mullins clan down there. I mean, he's a young man, and I know his daughter can't be 10 or 11 years old. Can't be, if she's that old. Just diagnosed with leukemia. And I'm not talking the docile kind. I'm talking the kind that takes you out of here in a quick way. Are you telling me there's not need for a prayer? So what do we do in this sense? You know, how do we pray? Lord, heal her. Do you think the Lord don't know? Do you don't think the Lord wants a revelation of His Son in this situation? But are we going to ask Him to do something? But see, I'm just going to throw this out there right now. I'm going to read you some scriptures. Jesus, what did He always do? He went to receive of His Father. Always. He went to receive of His Father. And then He would spend all night praying, receiving of His Father as if He had nothing. And then when He went out the next day, man, He just dealt it out, didn't He? But see, we want to spend all of our time asking God to do something instead of going there to receive from Him. Because our whole mindset is, I got to give Him something. You got nothing to give Him. Nothing that requires of you other than you going and receiving from Him. To as many as what? Praise God? To as many as worship God, or to as many as receive Him? To them He gave the power. That hasn't changed, guys. That haven't changed. Come in, and guess what? The house, the temple, where is He? Is He afar off somewhere? He lives in you, is your very life. Do we come to Him to always receive? Or do we come to Him as beggars? I mean, I read that scripture 5 weeks in a row. Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. And just to give you the qualifier on that, He knew. And if you're dead, what do you have need of? Life. What did Jesus say? I come that you might have life, and that more abundant. Has it changed? Has it changed? So important, guys. These things, I don't know about you, but when I hear those things, man, if something don't switch in you know what I mean? And this is one of the things that got this guy, because it affected his doctrine. Because, man, they done called in the best prayers they know. Man, ain't nothing happening. Called me on the phone and said, Brother, I don't understand. I don't understand. We're doing all we can do. And here's this little girl with this leukemia thing, big lump on her lung. And, you know, we don't know. We can't do nothing. I just think about the disciples when they come back down the mountain. You know, Peter, James, and John's up on the mountain. When they got down, nine of them can't heal the little girl, can they? Or can't heal the guy. And they're sitting there arguing. I can just see them. Well, your disciples, here's my son healing me. I mean, you're the disciples. You've been with Jesus, Him and Peter, James, and John's up on the mountain. Would do something. Jesus said, what are you doing arguing with them? What are you doing arguing with them, guys? And then Jesus asked the question, how long? When are you guys going to get this? That's what I asked the church today. When are we going to get it? When are we going to get it? Let me tell you something, guys. We're all part of a generation. And believe you me, guys, he's been dealing with a generation since the wilderness. And I can promise you guys, if we don't get it, He'll raise up another one behind us. But believe you me, when He said the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, it will be, whether we partake of it or not. That's left up to us. I mean, He told Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot treads, that I've already given to you. What do you do? Walk it out. Walk out this land. See that it's a good land, exceeding fruitful land. Walk it out. But my Lord and my God, we get our minds and eyes on everything but. I'm going to use this technical term that I use on Israel that came out of Egypt. The technical term is stupid. They were stupid. All they did was murmur and complain and want to go back. Even said, we'll get us a captain, we'll go back. I only got 2 pages of notes, 147 scriptures. So I thought last night, I said, well, this will be easy. Oak will rest easy. So I wrote Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 35, and a little dash right in the middle. Read them all. So it only takes up one line. But what we've been talking about with prayer, guys, when Jesus serves as the prayer, because who's the prayer that lives in the house? He is. It's a house of prayer. We're the house. He's the prayer that lives in the house. He's the one that stands there making intercession. Let me go back to Hebrews. We read this verse last week. I'm going to read it again just for spite. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, I'm in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren. You know, Paul made this statement in Galatians that you have known God, or rather are known of God. Now, why would he say, holy brethren? Because I'm going to tell you what. Let me just ask every one of you guys, how many of y'all are holy? Well, ain't nobody jumps up and down right there. But we can take that one of two ways. We can all look at it in the first sense and say, man, I ain't a bit holy. Well, how are you? And you know what? You're correct in that statement. But how are you known of God? Holy brethren. That's how you stand before God. What do you mean how you stand before God? Because we have a faithful and high priest. And go read it. The faithful and high priest stands there with a mitre on his head that says what? Holiness unto the Lord. And he told Aaron, by him standing there, all Israel will be holy before me, because that priest. And we just read there in chapter 2 last week about we have a faithful and merciful high priest. And that high priest stands there, holiness unto the Lord. So, brethren, this is how you're known of God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. We looked at that word. Profession is not something that we do. What's your profession? Well, I'm a professional railroad. What do you do? I'm a professional pharmacist. What do you do? No, that ain't what he's talking about. That word there means confession. The apostle and high priest of our confession. And that word confession means homologeo. It means to say the same thing as. We think confession means who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? I did it. He confessed. We got to remember now, this is not written from an American viewpoint. From law and order. We got to get a confession out of it. This is written from Hebrew. Confession, say the same thing as. Our faithful and high priest, our confession. So who stands there as our confession? Christ Jesus. Now, I just told you earlier that he stands there as our confession. He stands there as a blessing, and the blessing was eulogy. So he stands there as saying, what? Yeah, they're all dead, Father, and I've got the blood to prove it. Isn't that what the high priest did? He stood there and said, all Israel's dead. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. The priest went in with what? He didn't go in by himself. He went in with the blood. So he stands there in the confession, Roger's dead. And I'm his life. Wherefore, holy brethren? Can you see that? Wherefore, holy brethren? Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Consider the one who stands there before. But see, we want to jump up and down and try to get God's attention. And his attention is focused on one. Wherefore, holy brethren? So what do? Partakers. Receivers of what? Receivers of Him. Receivers, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, guys, if it's a heavenly calling, and I just got to throw this in. I'm only in one verse, Oakley, so we might go over if I got to read another 8 chapters. It'll be okay. But see, guys, everybody in the world, we want to apply this thing to us in every way, shape, or form because everybody's got a calling. And I'm telling you what, there's only one calling. Go read Ephesians. If there's only one calling, who got it? I'm just saying. It's His calling. Now, what are we partakers of that calling? Well, brother, I'm called to be this. I'm called to be a minister. I'm called to be a preacher. I'm called to be a deacon. I'm called to... No, you're not. You may have a job. You may have this. You may do that. But it comes out of being partakers of His calling. I'm telling you what, guys. We're going to leave no room for any flash to glory up in here. God looked at me. I used to think that. God looked at me and said, oh, Jim Moore, I can use him. What am I going to do with him? I'm going to put him through hell for a little while. And then I'm going to use him. Well, that's stupid. God didn't put me through hell. You know who did? Moi. Moi and his arrogant stupidity did all that. God called me out of that. He didn't call me into it. Called me out of that. Thankfully did. Now partakers of the heavenly calling. Who was faithful to him? Who was faithful to him that appointed him? Now, see, we're talking about a him here. Who was faithful to him who appointed him? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. Now, here's an allegory. As also Moses was faithful in all of his house. So Moses was faithful in all of his house. So this one is also faithful in his house to whom appointed him. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now we're talking about our faithful and high priest right here. Right? This man was worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. Now think about that. He who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. My Lord and my God, isn't this what we want to be? I just want to be a servant of the Lord. When I mention Moses, we're talking old covenant. So come on and be a servant if that's what you want to be. If you want to partake of the old covenant, of the law, those who were stoned under two or three witnesses, taken out and beat to death and bludgeoned to death, if that's what you want. Paul said, who has bewitched you? For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Those things were what? Just a testimony. But Christ. See what a contradiction here. See what a change in direction. But Christ. As a son over his own house. Whose house are we? God, who? Now, if we're the house, and I just read to you that the man that builded the house gets more honor than the house, and Christ is the son over his own house, who we are, where's the honor? Now here comes the qualifier. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, or the expectation unto the end. Now my Bible don't say end of time, so don't write it in yours. And to the end. I'm just going to throw something right here in what Peter said. Let me find it out. In First Peter chapter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. Receiving the end of your faith. What do you mean the end of my faith? That, if the end of it, you know, I travel down a road and it says the end of the road. The road runs out. There's no more road. Does this mean there's no more faith? No. What the word means here is the goal. The goal. So we're going to hope firm. We're going to have confidence with expectation to the goal. What is the goal? See, that's where a lot of people don't have it. What's the goal? And most everybody's goal is me-centered. Most everybody's goal, I mean, you listen to 10,000 preachers and their goal will always be me. When I get to heaven, when I get my new body, when I'm an immortal, when I'm doing this, when I'm doing that, when I'm me, and thank you, Jesus, for making it me. Appreciate it. I'll give you honor. I just want to tell you that I want to give honor to Jesus, but Jesus, you stand back, I'll take care of this. Right? I mean, that's where most of it goes. I wrote a couple statements. I even added a couple more already on Wednesday night. We talked about this, and I ain't going to show you my beautiful picture. We know this is only about two men, Adam and Christ, two trees in the garden. If your first thought is this, how will this affect me? You're eating from the wrong tree. I wrote this other thing down. How will I be seen? I mean, if this affects me, how are people going to know me? How am I going to be seen? Am I going to be seen as a victim? Am I going to be seen as a good person? Am I going to be seen as a bad person? Am I going to be seen as a religious person? Am I going to be seen as successful? Am I going to be seen as a mom? Am I going to be seen as a dad? Or all these things that we live in bondage and fear to our whole life, how are they going to know me? Paul gives you this right here. Wherefore, what, holy brethren, known of God? Paul said, this is how I'm known to the world. I'm crucified to Christ. I'm crucified to the world. The world's crucified to me. What else is there to know? What else is there to know? I made a little note down there, you know, Christ being the center. He's the only one that's humble enough to be the center and focus point of it. He's the only one that has that humility. Anything else, we'll wag our tails like a dog. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope or the expectation firm unto the goal. Wherefore, now listen to what he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. Now listen, today if you will hear his voice, there has to be a qualifier in there. That must mean the voice is speaking. Right? The voice must be speaking if he is to make the statement today, if you will hush. That's what he told Peter up on the mount. Peter said, oh, it's good to be here. Jesus said, hush up, Peter. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Today, the Holy Ghost speaketh. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today, Peter, if you will hush. But see, we got our prayers is all about speaking many words. Jesus says, don't be like them that use what? Vain repetition. Prayer may be to start out with prayer, coming up in here and listening. Now, I'm not talking listening to me, guys. I'm talking about you and your prayer. You and your going into your place. You being quiet and listening to what he has to say because he is the prayer. Now listen, I'm going to throw this out there. I might have to edit this out of tape, but don't get Olga to pray for you because she might knock the fire out of you. Now Olga can tell you this after service, but be careful getting Olga to pray for you. Oh, but now listen, you never know what the Lord is going to say. I could just hear Jesus going up to the mountain. And the Lord and God saying, you know, there's a blind man down there. George is down there. Here's what I want you to do. George can't see a lick. I want you to go outside and get some dirt and spit in it and rub it on his face. I mean, you know, we read it and we think, oh, yeah. Could you imagine? You know, George is like, I don't understand. You know, I had that RK surgery a long time ago. I would take kids to the eye doctor, and I went to the eye doctor many times. Never once has that eye doctor put dirt on my face. Never once. So you, I mean, you know, these things are odd, but I mean, that's what, take the dirt, spit in it, put it on his face. Put it on his eyes and go tell him to wash in a certain pool. I mean, this is the same thing with Naaman, wasn't it? Naaman's got he's leprous. He's going to die of this disease. Can't nobody get around him. He hears about a prophet. He gets his train. He gets all of his money. He goes down there to the prophet. The prophet don't even come out. The prophet didn't say, I'm the holy man of God. I'm the great holy man. The prophet tells his little servant, you go talk to this guy. He got time to pull with you. What are you talking about, Naaman? I mean, I am Naaman. Do you not know I'm second in command of the greatest empire in the world? And you, the old dirty barefoot guy, won't even come out and speak to me? You sent a servant out here, and then plus you told me to go wash in the dirty water? I mean, there's better rivers up there. I mean, clean waters, crystal clear vacation homes are set there. And you want me to go wash in the dirty Jordan? Consider the high priest of our profession, Naaman, because here's your problem. Your problem is sin. That's why your problem is the first. And until you reckon that one dead, that's what the Jordan is. That's when you reckon that first one dead, because here's the problem. The problem has been you all along. The problem ain't never been your circumstances. It ain't never been your family, your cousins, your uncles. The problem has always been you. But it's always been me. That's why Paul didn't say, you are crucified with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Now listen, I made this statement the other day. Paul didn't say, I was crucified with Christ. I am. That's an ever ongoing, because as soon as I am not crucified, I'm trying to resurrect on Jim Moore. I'm trying to live by my own understanding, my own life, my own knowledge, my own whatever, and trouble life at the door is when it's all okay. It's always available for you. When you walk back through that door, trouble. But today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. Let me switch books here. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Now we've been reading in Matthew 6. But in Matthew 7, see something here. And now let me tell you guys something here, just a little qualifier. Never, ever, 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 ever read the Bible for a sermon. If you guys ever are doing that, never do it. Read the scriptures to see Christ. You'll have your sermon. Don't read this for a sermon. Read this to see Christ. You'll have your sermon. You'll have your teaching. All right, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Okay. Now see, from this verse right here, I just disqualified every human being but one. Wait a minute, you already said we're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But there's some way that you got there. How did you get there? Because you're crucified, and if you're crucified, there's only one life here. He said, only that does the will of my Father will enter in. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? That sounds like today, don't it? And then I will profess, here's that word, confession again. Then I will confess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You work after the wrong source. You work after the wrong man. You work after the, look what I did for you, Jesus, idea. Isn't that what they say? Lord, we've done a lot of good works for you. We've been to church our whole life for you. We've prayed for everybody, baptized 117 yesterday. Brothers and sisters, we always are known of God in that consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. That's how you're known of God. Now, if we're only known of God in that one man, we may have baptized 117 yesterday. We may have prayed for all them, but who was being considered here? The builder of the house has more honor than the house. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Didn't we not read that the builder of all things is God? The builder of all things is God. Now he's the wise master builder who does what? He builds his house upon what? The rock. And Paul got a hold of this, guys. Don't go out to the beach and think about a bulldozer digging up a hole, finding a rock. Paul says, and the rock that followed them is Christ. Jesus asked him, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Jeremiah, some say Elias. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock I will build my church. What's the rock? It is the revelation. It's not just Christ the rock. It's the revelation of the rock. See, the wise man, he's building his house. He's establishing his house. Not on getting a bunch of people out here, but on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because when the revelation comes, it tears down everything else. Now listen to this. Listen, just apply this in your circumstances. Because guys, these things happen. The rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew. Beat upon the house. And it fell not. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about boldness. I'm talking about no matter what, no matter what comes, the winds, the storms, the rains, this house won't be moved. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And then when the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it fell, and great was the fall. Great was the fall. But now, listen. Let me go back to verse 21. Lord, Lord, who shall enter? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What was the will of the Father? God, we got people praying. This is what I'm saying. We got people praying. Think about this. And guys, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody because I've prayed these prayers. God, what is your will for my life? God, I just want to know what your will is. God, if you could tell me what it is you want me to do. And I heard, but I thought it was some evil mind trick being spoken into me, because I'm waiting there to hear. And I'm hearing, but I ain't liking what I'm hearing. I keep thinking the Lord is going to say, thank you, Pastor Jim, you're the greatest in the whole world. I want you to be a preacher. Multitudes will come, billions will come. Probably people will be donating Bentleys to you. This will be the greatest thing. And I'm thinking, all right. Here we go, me and Jesus. But I hear these words, reckon yourself dead. Wait a minute, God, I'm possessed by the devil. I'm possessed because I know you're not telling me reckon myself dead. I want to hear about this great ministry that you're about to produce. Yeah, reckon yourself dead. today, if you will hear his voice, reckon yourself dead. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. You see? But he that does the will of the Father. But we're talking about he that does the will of the Father. We're talking about one. Because in Hebrews, back over in this book, Hebrews, it says, then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. This is Christ talking. To do what? To do thy will. Now wait a minute. I'm reading right here. Everyone that does the will of the Father is coming into the kingdom. And then I read the book, it says, guess what? I'm the one that done the will of the Father. So in this kingdom, who lives? Only Christ. And we live by Him. He's the only life reckoned here. Now, how we are reckoned of that one life. And what is that life? Wherefore, holy brethren? You see what I'm talking about? Wherefore, holy brethren, if you'll hold fast this confession. Wherefore, holy brethren, when Jesus is praying here in Matthew 6, listen to this. He says, pray after this manner. Matthew 6, guys, is before the cross. This is in the end of the old covenant. This is the end of Moses. This is the end of the law. And he says, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Wait a minute, I just read one is going to enter into the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. Jesus said, my God, the kingdom is at hand. Thy will be done. I mean, can you imagine he's giving them the end of an age prayer? A prayer that we try to pull over here into this age, but a prayer that was fulfilled over here because he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And right here, Jesus is saying, then I said, lo, I come. The volume of the book's written of me. For what? To do thy will, O God. Above what he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings, offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered under the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, the last man is the Lord from heaven. I'm talking about a risen Savior. A risen Lord and Savior, not risen after the order of the first, but risen after the order of the second, where one lives and we all live by him, where Israel is reckoned by the one. Now see, there's freedom in this. There's liberty in this. There's not liberty in anybody else. And don't let anybody tell you that you got the power. He's the power. Now, let me go to Romans. Let me go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Because I'm dealing with here two mindsets. A mindset after the first, a mindset after the second. Patty mentioned this. I wrote this down. I wrote it down last night, but Patty was talking about this. For to be carnally minded is death. It's the realm of death. It's the whole realm of death. See, there's a dead end sin over here. And to be carnally minded it's that realm. It's that whole realm. What is the carnal mind? Guys, I grew up thinking the carnal mind meant I was thinking about fishing or thinking about a ball game. That's not what he's talking about right here. The carnal mind of the Pharisees, the carnal mind of the Jews. We'll take this vineyard for ourselves. We'll be pleasing to God. If we can get enough people praying, we'll get God to move. We don't need this Jesus guy. We're the seed of Abraham. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Don't boast that I'm the seed of Abraham. God is able of these stones to call up children. Where is your boast? To as many as received him. How is it? How do we receive him? We receive him in his death. Know you not? As many of you were baptized into Christ, for what? Baptized into his death, where he has reckoned all of that dead. Now you reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. We've been brought into a whole nother realm. Now if we try to think and pray out of this realm, it's death. I guarantee you guys, 100% of all my prayers beforehand came out of that realm. Because I wasn't seeing nothing finished. All I'm seeing is lack, and I'm trying to get God to come back over into this realm and do something. And he will not. He will not. Now what he does in this realm affects that realm. Bet your bottom dollar it does. But he don't negotiate with this realm. When they come into the land, he said, don't you make leagues with any of them in that realm. As a matter of fact, kill them all. I'll not make a league with any of that realm. Put it all away. But my God, this is what we want. We want to make leagues and try to bless this realm, and it ain't. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now guys, there's only one spiritually minded. That's the mind of Christ. I can't have two minds. The scripture will tell you a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and don't need to ask anything of God. So it's either carnal-minded or spiritual-minded. It's not a mixture here. Kingdom that is divided shall not stand. A house that's built upon a kingdom divided cannot stand. See what I mean? Here's why. You was wondering why. Here it is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it's God's enemy. God's enemy. Wait a minute. This natural mind I have is the enemy of God? Absolutely it's the enemy of God because I want it for me. Remember I told you, how's this affect me? What's this do to me? How's this affect me? Well, how am I going to look? How am I going to be taken? How am I going to be understood? For it is not subject, it's not subject, it can't be brought into conformity to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When Abram brought forth Ishmael, God didn't say, well, Abraham, that's good. We can work with it. We can work with it. Let's start training up Ishmael. Let's wash Ishmael. Let's get Ishmael cleaned up. No, he said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Tell them to get everything they got and get out. Grieved Abraham in his heart. And this is what prayer does in our heart. When I'm telling you about prayer, it grieves us in our heart because prayer is not going to come out of that and it's not going to do anything in that. You're just wasting your time. I mean, to say, to come up into prayer and to say prayer is about receiving? Doesn't that sound strange? I mean, does that not go against everything that you've ever thought about in your life? Prayer is about receiving? I ain't going to make it through both pages, am I? I ain't going to make it. Let me go to Numbers here real quick. Numbers 14. This is these guys. Now I want you to think. God, remember we've read this so much. God brought them out. God brought them out to do what? Bring them in. And here they come, guys. Here comes Israel. They've been through the Red Sea. They've seen the 10 plagues. They've seen the sea parted. They've been following the glory. And here they come, guys, right across the river here, Clyde. There's Promised Land. They're camping on the edge here. Right on the edge. Think how close it is. River Jordan, like the Clinch River. Right here, captivity, wilderness, bondage. Go through that water right there. Land that flows with milk and honey. A land that was promised. That's how close they are. They're sitting there. 600,000 of them are sitting there looking into that land. Hearing things from that land. The Lord said unto Moses, I'm in Numbers 13, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. That's what we do in the scriptures, ain't it? We're searching the land, searching the land. Moses got 12 of them. Verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, said to them, go up this way southward and go up into the mountain. Remember we were talking about the mountain? He's telling them, I see the mountain. You know, guys, I love the Lord of the Rings. I like all of them, all six of them. When I see them come out there, guys, I'm seeing them looking, and they call it the Lonely Mountain. But they're there in all this desolation and all this stuff, and they look out there and they see that mountain. They said, that's where we want to get to, is we want to get to that mountain. Can you imagine them right down the river and Moses saying, see that mountain right there? I want you to go into that mountain right there. And see, that's what we're telling everybody today. We're saying, my God, there's the mountain. You've been brought to that mountain already. You have come to Mount Zion. There's the mountain. Search it out. Walk it out. He's already given it to you. And I love this next verse. He says, and see the land. My God, when you get up on the mountain, you can see the land. He's telling them, go into the mountain and see the land. Go. That's what we're telling the church today. But see, these liars have got them. And they said, you can't see the land now. But one of these days at the end of this timeline, you can see it. But Paul said, you have already come here. Now see the land. You've been brought here by the blood of Jesus Christ. Go in and see the land. Now we know the story. They go in, 12 of them. They brought back word. They brought back proof. They brought back fruit. Here's what they said. They told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey. Yeah, what we heard was true. Surely it flows with milk and honey. And then they had proof. Here's the fruit of it. Not fruit, it's fruit of it. They brought down a cluster of grapes. They had to carry it on a pole. It's big. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the children of Anak there. There's giants in this land. Who's the giants in the land? You are. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let's don't even hesitate. Let us go up now and take it. This is our generation, guys. This is us. Let's go in and take this land. Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. You are overcomers already in Christ, because he stands there as your life. Death hath no more dominion over him. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. Now let me read this, Deb, and I'll be done. All the congregation lifted up their voice, cried. The people wept that night. The children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. We'd have been better off to just be dead over there. Isn't that, yeah. Guys, I've been to hundreds of funerals. And here's what they say. They're at rest finally. They're at rest. They're at peace. Isn't that a sad thing to think that the casket is the only peace? When I've been reading to you in Hebrews, when he said there's a rest that's left for you, and it ain't by way of that casket. It's by way of a death that I provided to you a long time ago that you can live and walk in. In him you can live and move and have your being today. I don't need peace some glad day, guys. I need today if you will hear his voice. I need peace today. And it's there today if you will hear his voice. But the complaint of them was, that peace ain't good enough, Roger. I would rather have that peace. Think about what they're telling God. I don't want the peace you provided. I want the peace that comes in a $10,000 casket. There was peace that was bought with 30 shekels of silver provided for you a long time ago. And there ain't no casket you can pay ever going to provide that to you. God, we had died in Egypt. For what God that we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore, as the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? I liked it better in bondage. I liked it better when they told me what time to go to work and what time to go home, when to eat lunch and when to take my break. Then I could just sit and be like everybody else, and I could just grow up and go to school and then go to high school and maybe go to college and then just get me a job and go on vacation when they tell me I can go on vacation and then just die when they tell me my time is over. I'd just rather do that. Is this not the way of the world? Soon after, people just forget. Clyde who? Oh yeah, Clyde was that guy who worked 37 years over after prison and he died. Oh yeah, I think I remember him. What is that? Is that the life that you've been given? Is that the life that hung on that tree and bled and groaned and died and was buried and rose again? The life that you live by, is that what it's all about? See how short we fall today. If you will hear his voice, we'll just keep on reading. They said, let us make us a great preacher and return to Egypt. It says a captain, but I'm just throwing that in there. Let us get us a good preacher that'll keep us in bondage and tell us about some glad day. Keep us in bondage our whole life. And we'll just live right here and we'll die and we'll say that was a good church. That church has been here since 1842. Look at it. It's a great church. I'm telling you about something that stands before there ever was even time. From and before the foundation of the world. I'm talking about he built his house on that rock. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's immovable. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Something that's been laid out for us, guys. Just skip on over. Verse 21. Here's God saying, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now look at this verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now here's the saddest verse in the Bible. Now remember where they are, guys. They're right here on the edge of Jordan. Looking in the promised land. They've got the testimony of Joshua and Caleb. They've seen the clusters of grape hung on the pole. What do they got? They got a testimony of the cross hung on the pole right here. They got a testimony of two witnesses saying, the Lord has given us this land. Surely let us go up now and possess it. Listen to this verse. This is what God said. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, that's today. That's the day that they should be living in. Today, if you will hear his voice. He said, tomorrow, turn you and get ye into the wilderness. By the way of the Red Sea, go all the way back to where you started. I mean, now they got to go all the way back. Now think about this. They came through the Red Sea on a great miracle. Wind blew all night long, passed through their dry shod. Seen all of their enemies destroyed. Seen every one of them washed up. They sang praises and glory and hallelujah. Horse and riders, he's thrown into the sea. What a victory. What a God we serve. Now they're standing into the land and they see the holy mountain. The land which God said, I brought you out to bring you in and establish you in my holy mountain. There it is. See, people are wanting to go to heaven. God's brought you there and they want to go back because it don't look like what you thought it did. sleighs and electric cars and go fishing and all that. It don't look nothing like what I thought it does. It don't. It looks like a man. It looks like a little ruddy man here with nail prints in his hands, sitting on a throne, saying, come unto me. There's nothing comely about his appearance that's attractive to the flesh. They couldn't even recognize him. They looked at him and said, this man here, that's the son of Joseph and Mary, the carpenter's son. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. My God, we got sages and prophets, and we got Isaiah and Pharisees and Sadducees and doctors of the law. And you're telling me this little guy is the Messiah, the king? No, give me something greater, grander. I don't want humility. I don't want this little dirty road, dirty foot guy walking around. I want grandeur and glory. And I want limousines pulling into the church parking lot. And I want escorts bringing them in on carpets of gold. No, I don't want humble and humility. I don't want a guy who eats with publicans and sinners called a wine bibber. I don't want nothing common. Love what he told Patty. I don't want nothing that's unclean. My God, the Lord straightened her right out. She can tell you about it. The Lord says, Patty, don't you dare call something unclean that I have clean. Now I'm telling you, holy brethren, wherefore, holy brethren, who has bewitched you? If we hold fast this confidence, then we stand there before God Almighty. What does he see? I see the blood. Hold fast this confession. I have no life with Christ. Now when I come up in there to pray, I come up in there having nothing, nothing, nothing except to receive. I come in there, you know, guys, I thank of Ruth. You want a picture of prayer? Here's Ruth. What do you mean prayer? Ruth. Ruth went out and labored in the field gleaning all night long. Every day gleaning in the corners of the field, getting this and getting that. Boaz says, who is that? Who is that good-looking woman right over there? Then what happens? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up there and find the place where Boaz is laying, where he's threshing wheat. In other words, Ruth, I want you to go up to the cross where he's laying. No, you're not. As many of you have been baptized into his death. Go up there and lay at his feet all night long. Reckon yourself dead, Ruth. But God, she went up and reckoned herself dead, and he got up and said, who is this? But this woman was clothed upon with a garment. I love this, guys. She held that garment out, and he put six measures of barley right in her dress. Now she goes right back. I told you this ram over here will affect this ram, because she walked right back with six heaps fulls of prayer answered right there. And what does she say all night long? No, here's how you pray. Go up there where the wheat's been threshed. Go up to the cross and lay there all night long. And when she got up in the morning, whoo, there was the heap. And she walked back, and you know, Naomi and them had been wondering and praying all these other prayers. How are we going to eat, Clyde? How are we going to eat? How are we going to get along? How are we going to get along? And here comes Ruth. Here she comes, two armfuls. Think about this, guys. I'm telling you, this is where prayer is today. You want to pray? Go up and find the feet of the man and lay there all night long. That's all. That's all she did, wasn't it? Go up and lay at his feet all night long. Bring this back. And I just think about this little woman or this little girl down here in Johnson City, this little 10, 11-year-old with leukemia. I'm saying, guys, it's time to get serious. Why stand ye here until we die? Why sit we here until we die, Patty? It'll be just like all the other generations that come and wander into the wilderness until we die, till we carry you out to the grave, until you carry me out to the grave and wait on another generation to come up. We can go in. We can possess this land. We can go in, Patty. It's there in the vision. Here's the fruit of it that stands there, Clyde. Christ Jesus is right there. It's open for us today. To whosoever will, let him come and run all these other lengths. We'll get into them next week. But let us hold fast this profession. Let us have confidence. This one that he says right there. Let it rather be healed in Hebrews. Instead of casting it out of the way, he said, let it rather be healed. Because what they would do, if you were lame, they would just take you out of the way. But he says, no, let it rather be healed. What is that healing? Guys, it's Christ Jesus. It's just Christ Jesus. We'll continue on this, guys. I'm going to get out of the way and turn this thing back over. Thank you.